some host proclaim, behold, in the name of Christ Jesus, amen. The crowds that went before and the crowds that went behind cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when they brought Jesus before Pilate, they cried, Crucify him. Pilate said, What shall I do with this man called King of the Jews? Crucify him. Why, what evil has he done? They shouted all the more, Crucify him. In Christ Jesus this Holy Week, amen. Holy Week is divine drama. All around the world today, as Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday, we see the divine drama. On one hand, the palms, Hosanna. On the other hand, the cross, crucify. Because today is Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion, we focus on the palms, the hosannas of Palm Sunday, and the cries of crucify on Good Friday. The divine drama is well known to you. You know the events of Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides in upon the colt and the donkey with the palm branches waving, and people make a carpet for him to enter with their cloaks. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The king has arrived in Jerusalem. Monday, Jesus comes back to Jerusalem and he cleanses the temple. He drives out the money changers and overturns their tables to cleanse God's holy temple. Tuesday and Wednesday of Holy Week, he goes back into the temple courts and he's wandering around teaching people for 2 days God's words, especially recorded in the Gospel of John. Then Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means command. On the day which they celebrated the Passover, Jesus gives a new command to love one another, to wash one another's feet as he would do, and he instituted Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. They would leave to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, where Judas would betray him, and then later in Caiaphas' courtyard, Peter would deny him. Good Friday, his trial before Pontius Pilate, they hit him. They spit on him, they crowned him with thorns, and they crucified him between two thieves. And Holy Saturday, the Sabbath, his body rested the entire Saturday Sabbath in the tomb. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead as he said he would on the third day. And the eyewitnesses would see the marks on hands and feet inside. The very same one that was crucified was risen from the dead. This is Holy Week. It's the most important week of the year for the church, and it is divine drama at its utmost. Now, before we briefly consider the palms and Hosanna and crucify and the cross, did you know why people were so excited on the original Palm Sunday for Jesus to come into Jerusalem? Do you know what event had just happened? The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Remember so many times in Jesus' ministry, he would do a miracle and he'd tell them, don't tell anyone what had happened. Well, that doesn't apply to the raising of Lazarus. Now that his cross has come, he calls forth Lazarus from the tomb in front of hundreds of people. All these people have gathered before Lazarus' tomb. The stone's even over it. And when he says to roll the stone away to Mary and Martha and says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus comes walking out, still wrapped in the burial clothes, and he says, unbind him. To the great astonishment of the crowd, they witnessed this. They ran to Jerusalem, and all over Jerusalem, people were talking about this great miracle. Jesus raised a man from the dead. In fact, the Bible says, not only did people want to see Jesus, they wanted to see Lazarus too. So in this context, Jesus is coming to Passover week, and the excitement of this Passover, and now the King has come. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord on Palm Sunday to be crucified on Good Friday. Hosanna in the highest. And let's focus on these two images for this Holy Week. First, the palms and Hosanna, and then the cross, crucify. The palms, Hosanna. They're in Bethany. Bethany is a little town on the side of the Mount of Olives. You can see right down on the Temple Mount, and there's this little town of Bethphage, just right next to Bethany. Bethany was the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, very close friends of Jesus. And the time has come for Jesus to enter. So he sends two of his disciples to the village, and they find a colt tied, and the owner allows them to take the colt because he's told the Lord has need of it. It was a colt upon which no one had ever ridden. And when they put their coats on the colt, and many spread their branches like a carpet and their cloaks upon the road, Jesus now comes in to the cries which were quoting from the Psalms. Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord from heaven is now here with us on earth. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. David was the royal king. Jesus is the royal king and Messiah from the line of David. Hosanna in the highest. Very similar to the words of the angels at Christmas Eve. Hosanna in the highest among the angels and also among the people there that day. And so he comes into Jerusalem. He goes in and he looks around. And that evening, he go back up to the little town of Bethany with his 12 disciples to stay overnight with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. This triumphal entry was in humility, and it was foretold by the Old Testament lesson this morning in Zechariah 9. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous. He comes to Zion, to Jerusalem, bringing salvation with him, humble upon a colt. He speaks peace to his people. He comes for the blood of the covenant. When we sing in the divine service, Hosanna, we are saying, Lord, save me. You see, as amazing as the divine drama of Holy Week is, it won't mean anything unless you believe that he did this for you. The Lord saved them. The Lord comes to save you and me. No matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what age you are, you cry today, Hosanna. Blessed are you, Jesus. Come to save me from sin, death, and hell, and give me everlasting life and a peace that the world cannot give. Hosanna, Lord, save me. And then, secondly, today, in the Sunday of the Passion, we consider the cross, the cries of crucify. The persons in this divine drama are very well known to us. There's the council, the chief priests and the elders and scribes, envious of Jesus. They want him put to death. There's the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who has authority over that part of Judea, who can condemn him to death. There's the murderer, Barabbas, who's going to be set free instead of Jesus being set free. You know, it's not coincidence that the name Barabbas in Aramaic means son of the Father. Amazing. The Son of the Heavenly Father takes the place of this man, Barabbas, the son of the Father, earthly fathers. In a sense, we are all like Barabbas. The Son of the Heavenly Father has died for all us, sons of our earthly fathers. Then there's the crowd. They cry, crucify. There's the soldiers who hate the Jews, and they really laugh when they crown him with thorns and spit on him and put a purple robe on him. Aha! This is the king of the Jews, and we're about to hang him on a cross. Boy, what a throne that is, as the soldiers mock him. And then Jesus, who needs help carrying the cross to Calvary, is helped by Simon of Cyrene, who helps Jesus in carrying the cross. And then you've got the robbers, one on the left and one on the right, who taunt him. But later one of them will repent. And you got those who were standing by who make fun of him. And then there's the centurion, who is over 100 soldiers, who would, after seeing how Jesus died, say, this was the Son of God. And you've got the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome, and many other women who administered to him, who were there at the cross. And then you have Joseph of Arimathea, who actually was on the council, but was a believer, and gave Jesus his own tomb cut out of the rock. And then you've got the place of his crucifixion, called Golgotha or Calvary, which is the place of a skull, a place for dead people. When they put a purple robe on him and everything for Lent is purple, it was a mockery because purple was a royal color, and they're mocking Jesus with a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And when they spit on him, they hit him with a rod, and then they kneel before him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." This is the reality of what they were saying about Jesus. Many scholars have pointed out something absolutely amazing. Those who hated him and those who did not believe him, every single thing they said about him was actually true. It's amazing. Pilate puts a sign above him and says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." That was true. He was the King of the Jews. Those people who crucified him say, "Ah, so you're the Christ, the Messiah." He was the Christ. They say he saved others. He can't save himself. That's true. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save others. They say, "Oh, here's the King of Israel." He was indeed the royal king of Israel. When the centurion says, "Behold, this is the Son of God," that is exactly what we just confessed in the Nicene Creed, that Jesus is the Son of God. And when the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb, we see the God-man, Christ Jesus, who died in our place. Everything that was said about him, though they meant it for evil, was actually true. And then there's the one word from the cross that Mark records. When you come back here on Friday evening for the Tenebrae service, we're going to read all seven last sentences of Christ from the cross. Mark only has one of them. Mark has the quote from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And the temple curtain tore in two, and he died. What's the significance of Psalm 22? All of Psalm 22 is messianic. Jesus quotes the first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God took the wrath that we deserved and put it on Jesus and turned his back on his only Son, so he will never turn his back on you. He forsook Jesus. He receives you. His wrath was poured upon Christ, and now he gives you peace and forgiveness and everlasting life. And the proof of that was that the temple curtain in the Holy of Holies tore in two, so now we can come into the Holy of Holies in the presence of the Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus Christ has taken away the sin of the world. This was truly earth-shaking with the earthquake and the tearing of the temple curtain. He said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And now we can say, "My God, you have forgiven me, and I am at peace with you through the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses me from all sin." We have only touched upon the mysteries of Holy Week, and I encourage you this week to take your Bibles and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account of the Passion of Christ. And again, rejoice with a loud voice for the miracle that we see, and profoundly meditate on the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord and the crucifying of the Son of Man. In conclusion, you can't really say it any better than St. Paul said in Philippians 2. For he said, he humbled himself, become obedient to the death, even death upon the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Meditate this week on the Hosanna and the Crucify of Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord for you. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding be with us this Holy Week. Amen.